You've always been taught that angels are the epitome of good, and they are meant to be honored and revered. But what if they're not merely just meant to be honored and revered, but feared as well? Venture with me into the darkness as I tell you a tale I'd like to call Don't Pray, They Can Hear You. I'm not a religious person. I grew up with a mother that was forced to go to church and listen to sermons in Latin with her brother and sister. Her parents would drop her off at the church and drive away, leaving her with the responsibility over her younger siblings and acting like she had a clue of what was going on. She'd laugh sometimes, telling me stories of her youth and how she didn't have any idea what was being said. The first few times she tried asking, the adults would shush her or glare, so she learned to just stay quiet and mimic what was being done around her. The word Amen being uttered, bow the heads and repeat. Everyone standing up and singing songs, better get up and mouth the words so nobody thinks that her and her siblings were being rude little children that haven't been raised right. When she had her own children, none of us went to church. Some of my siblings asked, out of curiosity, why, when the rest of their friends were forced to go. Being in the Deep South, church was what all families did in our town. We were the exception. I think some neighbors found it to be weird, dressed in their Sunday best, while we would be playing around outside or piling into the car for breakfast. Not going to church again? They'd ask. My mom would laugh, jingling her keys as she got into the car and cheerfully called to them, "Nope, we're just going to get pancakes." So, I never read the Bible. I had one. My grandfather insisted on it and put my name and birthday on the spine in shiny gold letters. Maybe I should read one though. It started off small. We got strangers sometimes. The town wasn't that tiny. A little less than 9,000 people. So, when I went to the grocery store, it wasn't that weird to see people I didn't recognize. I didn't think much of it when I first saw one. At least, I think it was one. He wasn't dressed that oddly, but something about him stuck out. Maybe it was the way he was dressed in a way too white button-down shirt in the middle of summer, or his hair too long that most men wouldn't dare to try out. Either way, he caught my eye and was just staring at me. I stared back, trying to figure out if we both knew each other from high school or from a friend of a friend, but he was a complete stranger. So I just smiled, waved, went on my way, grabbed my groceries, paid, loaded my stuff into the car, and drove back to my apartment. I figured it was a one-off. A guy that didn't recognize me for whatever reason thought I was someone he knew with an interesting fashion sense. But it kept happening. Not just him, but others too. People in clothes that didn't make sense for the heat in the summer. Pure white button-downs, no wrinkles or signs of sweat. They had gloves too, and long pants that remind me of bell-bottoms, but I couldn't ever see their feet. I could understand if there was just a new fashion trend or something, but long sleeves and covered head-to-toe in clothes doesn't seem like a good trend to me. Sounds like a heat stroke. Still, tried to be polite, just wave at the strangers and be on my way. I thought that maybe they were a weird bunch of groupies following some indie band or a family that insisted on having similar clothes. I don't know. I mentioned it to my mom, curious if she had seen them too. And she just laughed it off. Just ignore it, sweetie. Anytime you see them, just wave and be on your way. No need to be rude. So I took her advice until I finally got enough courage when I saw yet another one at the grocery store staring at me. I wandered close enough to the apples where he was standing and just asked, "Are you from here?" I really don't know what I was expecting, but what I got in return was terribly underwhelming. He just stared at me, eyes wide, and said, "Nothing." So I tried again, stupidly trying for any kind of response. If she was enjoying the weather, and if he had been in town for long, even asked if he liked apples, but nothing. Just that same blank, unblinking stare that made me muster my best smile and tell him to have a good day. I should have never talked to him. Suddenly, they were everywhere, all the time. Going to the gas station, one would be in the snack aisle staring at me the entire time. Driving down my street, one standing at the street corner, only moving his eyes. They never move, at least, not at first, just their eyes. They didn't walk or turn their heads or anything like that. Only ever the eyes. Fed up with it after a week, I went up to one that was in my way when I was just trying to go for an evening walk and ask, "Who are you? Why are there so many of you?" This one, a woman, stared at me like they always do. I think I was tired, maybe just sick of having random people in the same outfit everywhere. So I touched her shoulder. My fingers barely skimmed her white shirt before it was stained red with blood. I don't recall my screaming or turning tail and running back to my apartment so I could drive to the hospital. I'm sure I was just making a racket. But the thing that sticks out to me is I finally got a response out of them. She blinked, then smiled. It took like 10 stitches to close up the cuts on my fingers. 5 for my index, 3 for my middle, and 2 for the ring finger. I don't know what happened. Trying to explain it to the emergency room was difficult because they insisted whatever I had done and gotten down to the bone. After that, things just got worse. They actually moved. Not like walked or, you know, be human, but would glide across the floor to follow me. I still couldn't see their feet. Their knees didn't bend or do anything normal to even mimic a normal way of walking. The first time I saw it, I knocked over a display of cookies and had to apologize profusely to the poor bakery worker. When she asked what had me in such a fright, I gathered up the courage to say, "That man over there, he keeps staring at me." She looked in the direction I was looking, brow furrowed, but she didn't respond at first, and instead asked if the man had walked away. I must have looked stupid, mouth agape, because he was right there. She didn't see him. All I could do was nod my head and agree with her and then rush out of the store. After a week of getting used to them moving, they began changing. Small things at first. Their shirts looking less white, more gray. They made strange rattling sounds sometimes. A hollow, creepy sound. Their faces became more expressive. Not much, but rather than just watching their eyes, they turned their heads or flex their fingers. Even the gloves went away. And I was wishing they really hadn't. They had really strange hands. The fingers were far too long, curved unnaturally, and have a sickly gray skin to them. The nails are all ripped off. Just 3 or so months ago, I thought they were a bunch of weird groupies that copied a band or maybe some strange cult. I wish I still believed that. It was when I saw the strange shadows behind them that I finally broke down and told my mom everything over the phone. My hand being cut up, that it wasn't an unfortunate cooking accident, it was from them. My jumpiness and sounding like I'm close to a nervous breakdown? Yeah, I've been followed for months now and don't know what to do. She was quiet for a long time and I fully expected her to laugh at me. To tell me I was being ridiculous or dramatic, but instead, she let out a long sigh and said, "Sweetie, I told you. You should have just been polite." "What the fuck are they?" I asked, tears running down my face as I made sure that every curtain was shut. She was quiet, oddly so, before she offered, "I don't know. Your grandfather always called them angels." "Those are not angels." "So, you haven't fully seen them yet. That's good." I remember choking out a weak noise. Maybe a question, but she kept going. "You should move somewhere nice and cold. Far away from the south." "Move? What? Just pack everything up? Leave my job and my apartment with no notice and go? Go where?" "Doesn't matter. Far away. States and states away. Maybe even countries." Nothing was making sense and I managed to say as much, trying to demand answers, but all I got in response was a sigh. A tired and sad sound before she pressed on, talking like I hadn't been having a panic attack. "You can try to wait it out, but I'm going to be packing up and going myself. If they're aware of you, then they'll soon be bothering me." I felt cold, throat dry, and I managed to croak out of, "What happens if I stay?" She fell silent again. This time, it lasted for far too long before she finally continued. "It depends on them, I suppose. I don't know. But if they've already harmed you, I wouldn't be surprised if they'd like to do it again. They're strange like that." We got off the phone shortly after that. She kept insisting that she needed to pack and call my siblings, tell my brothers and sisters to be mindful of themselves. I wanted to try to stick it out. I didn't want to leave my home, my friends, my little apartment, so I tried keeping my distance from them. Anytime they drifted too close with their wide, unblinking eyes, I'd walk away or, in some cases, ran. I thought that wouldn't be too hard. They're slow after all. At least until one got too close and I couldn't quite run away. I was trying to pump gas into my car. I saw it this time. Just managed to stumble back from the pump when the gasoline hose was cut. And gas spilled all over the side of my new car and onto the ground. The two wings standing on the shoulders of this angel. He stares at me, head cocked to the side like a bird, as the wings twitched, but they were nothing like the feathery wings of a cherub painting, none like the ones I had seen. They were huge, far too big for its lanky body, and anchored to the back by blackened bones. What should have been soft feathers were twisted and gnarled bones, different colors of white, black, red, and pink. Some looked diseased. Others looked freshly cut from an animal. I stared, mouth agape, and the wings sliced through the air and left me with a torn shirt and bleeding stomach. I abandoned my car and ran. Someone picked me up and drove me to the hospital. The wound was superficial, the doctor said. Cleaned it out and patched me up with a bit of gauze and an offering of some painkillers. The moment I got home, I called my mom, even though it was 3 a.m. She listened to my jumbled account of what had happened, and I ended it with a sob of, "Can I come stay with you?" "No." She sounded so harsh and cold before she sighed and continued. "No. You go one way, I go the other. I'm heading towards Washington State. Are you not going to tell me what state you stop in?" "It's not safe." "Don't tell me where you end up either. I suggest you leave now or in a day or two. And sweetie, whatever you do, don't pray. You've never done so before, so don't you dare start now." After that conversation, I still debated on whether or not I should stay. At least, until I looked through my bedroom window to find them. Not just one of them, but many. Some standing on the street, staring up into my apartment. Others on the roofs and phone lines. The sight of them floating in the air with skeleton wings that look more like razor blades in the streetlight. That's what solidified my decision to leave. I guess I'm writing this as a warning. If you do see some people that stick out, just be polite. Don't talk to them. Just wave, smile, and be on your way. I don't know what they are. Angels? I don't know a single angel that has razors on their backs, but sure, maybe. Either way, I'm packing up and leaving. Mom says that's the only way. To run as far away and as fast as I possibly can. And don't pray. Praying will just guarantee that they find me sooner. I just pray that.
No! No! No!
Ha 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 ha